I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We're grateful, O God, that it is all about you and your son Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. We thank you so much for the resurrected Christ. And Lord, we pray today that as your word goes forth, that someone who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin might be saved. Lord, we love you and we thank you for first loving us. You've been mighty good to us. You've kept us. You've provided for us. We've been able to walk in and experience your promises. To that we say thank you. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that cleanses us and forgives us of all of our sins. We ask all of this now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ and our soon to come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, Faith. Amen. What a joy it is to see you. It's good to be in the land of the living. Yeah, it's good. You may not be excited about that, but last I checked, you still in your right mind and able to move about. As we advance, for those of us in our years, we have more hospital visits, seeing the doctor more now than I've ever seen him before. If you're not taking a pill and you're 50 years old, count yourself blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. So God be praised for that. Meet me in the Song of Solomon's. The Song of Solomon. Let me just say, by way of an overview, this book is an amazingly sensuous book. You need to handle it with care. If you under 10. It's a book that you don't hear preached about very often, but it is indeed a book that we're going to talk about for a few moments today. So I want you to meet me in chapter 2, and I would like to read in your hearing verse 15 of Song of Solomon. Catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want to preach from the theme, beware of the little foxes. Beware of the little foxes. This love story between Solomon and this Shulamite girl is in narrative form. It's in the book of poetry. And it talks about marriage, the beginning, the morning of marriage, noonday, the middle of marriage, and twilight years, the end of marriage, and how couples are able to enjoy each other over the long haul. It celebrates intimacy. It's a book that Jewish tradition says that celebrates and demonstrates God's love for Israel, but it also demonstrates God's love for his people, for his church. And I want to hang out in that second chapter in verse 15 because the Shulamite girl says something here that's important. She's basically saying, Solomon, if we're going to make it, if this relationship is going to last, make sure that you watch out for the little foxes, because the little foxes can wreck and ruin our relationship. That's what the book is really talking about as well, relationships. So I want to take a look at that, little foxes, because much as it applied then, it applies now. It's those little foxes, those little sins, those little things that can ruin and wreck our relationship with Christ. Be with me for a moment, and I'm not going to tarry long, but I wanted us to at least look at this because she makes it clear here, and it's a warning to us. Don't neglect, don't miss, don't take lightly those little things that can wreck and ruin our relationship with Christ. I just want to look at three of them. There's so many more that one could look at, but I just want to hang my hat on three. But before that, let me say this, that God longs to be viewed as and seen as the one who can help us deal with those little foxes, those little habits, those little things that you and I have that get in the way of our relationship with Him. View Him as the one who did not leave you vulnerable or helpless as it relates to these little critters that are not very strong, but yet they can ruin and wreck any kind of vineyard. They dig holes everywhere. They just tear up the place. And we have an enemy that wants to see us ruined and wrecked. But I'm glad that God gives us something that we can combat him with, those little foxes. They only weigh about 10 to 15 pounds. They hang in packs. They dig holes in the whole family. All the little critters get together. But God says, watch out for them. Don't take them lightly. And that's the challenge for you and I today. So here's one of those little foxes that we need to be mindful of. The fox of discontentment. The fox of discontentment. Folks are so discontent these days. Have you seen it? Come on now, don't. Road rage. The absence of civility. Have you listened to some of the mess that folks talk about on talk show? I mean, there is a lot of discontentment, a lot of anger. We see it day in and day out. Discontentment, longing for something better than the present situation. Relationship discontentment, financial, physical. Sometimes our expectations are not met, and that creates a certain level of discontentment. Sometimes when we play the game of comparing ourselves to what we have versus what someone else has, that creates in some of us a feeling of discontentment. Trying to live up to the expectations that some people have on us can sometimes create a sense of discontentment. They have all kinds of things that can cause us to feel discontented. Let me put a pin in that, and I'm going to come back. But let me say this, that sometimes, in all honesty, a level of discontentment can push you. Hear me now. If you're sick of that job that you're doing every day, and you've about had enough of it, maybe that discontentment is saying, maybe I need to go back to school, get additional training, seek the Lord's face, and see what He would have me to do. Some level of discontentment can propel us to move on. If you live in an apartment and you said, I've had enough of this, it's time for me to make a decent investment in a house, I'm discontented, then fine, go ahead and start saving your coins and begin to get a down payment for a house. There's some level of discontentment when you're in a relationship that is not working and you know it and you said, you know what, we need to sit down and talk to somebody so we not kill each other in the process. There's some things that can push you for your betterment because I don't want to deal with this anymore. We need help. We need to deal with this. That's fine. Let it be holy discontentment. But I'm talking about a level of contentment where you begin to look the wrong way at God and begin to say and reason, why are you allowing this? As if you no longer trust the judgment of God. You no longer trust the timing of God. You wanted it yesterday, and God is saying, you have to wait. But as you wait, keep praying, keep reading, keep doing what you're supposed to do as you wait for me. You know how the waiters are when you sit down and get a meal? They just don't leave you unattended until your meal shows up. Would you like more water? Would you like some more bread? Be busy while you're waiting. And trust his timing, because I don't want to complain to him about what he's not doing. That's not a good place to be. If anything, here's what you do. In the season of discontentment, develop an attitude of praise. Begin to thank God for what he is doing and what he has yet to do in your life. We all have something to be thankful for. God has blessed each and every one of us. New mercies we see every day. This discontentment thing is not new. That's what happened with the folks in Exodus. The Lord had delivered them from the Red Sea. I mean, he split the water all on top of each other. They went over on dry land. There was a strong east wind that blew. They singing and thanking God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. You blessed us. 3 days in the wilderness. They run up on some bitter water and begin to complain. God had just showed them the miraculous. Divided the Red Sea. Walked over on dry land. A strong east wind. And now 3 days already, you complaining about what God's not going to do? Uh-oh, sounds familiar. We got some of that in us. Here he just showed you a great thing. So this whole thing about murmuring and complaining is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. But I want to view it differently. I want to handle it differently. So when that fox of discontentment shows up, I begin to say, notice it says catch. It's really catch and kill. Now, Peter would have a problem with me because I'm talking about hurting these foxes. But during that particular time, foxes were a real nuisance. And grape growers were on a constant battle to kill the foxes. Beloved, you and I need to have that same kind of attitude as it relates to those little foxes that deal with us day in and day out. We are in warfare. This is not a playground. It is a battleground. And I don't want to treat it as such. So kill the rascal. Oh, Lord, I know that this is language that we don't like to hear, but we got to deal with this thing because lives are being wrecked and ruined because of discontentment. Folks are leaving here because they can no longer handle the vicissitudes of life. And the enemy is an expert at introducing discontentment into your life and mine. We are the ones, by way of the Holy Spirit, have to say, no fishing here today. You need to go somewhere else. It's major. It's major. So what I do when he tries to show up and I need to kill it, Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in thee. In other words, it's my thinking which makes the difference. Thinking always lingers and stays in a place called discontentment. Yes, this is a no standing area. I'm not going to be here long. I'm just passing through. Discontentment, you got me now, but guess what? My mind is already seeing a way up and out of where you're trying to keep me stuck at. So when that little fox tries to come up, Let them know, listen, discontentment, you are not welcomed here. I'm too busy focusing on the grace of God. I'm too busy focusing on the faithfulness of God. I'm too busy looking at the goodness of God. Okay, Paul said, listen, Lord, he asked three times, would you please remove this thorn from my flesh? And, you know, folks been speculating forever about what it was. It doesn't matter. It bothered him. As he aimed to do the Lord's bidding through preaching, he was buffeted. And the Lord did not remove it. But look at what he said. My grace is sufficient for thee. Beloved, those words still ring true today. When discontentment tries to show up and hold you down, say, listen, God's grace is sufficient for what I'm dealing with. Talk back to the enemy. Let the fox know, no, not today. You got me last week. I ain't know no better. But now I done heard a little word, got more word in me, and guess what? I'm going to deal with this. Because I realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got to hold on to everything that I know about the master when discouragement tries to come up. Time out for giving in. Because you know what it does? It makes you someone that no one wants to be around very long. Because folk begin to know your MO. They know what to expect. Oh, Lord. Oh, gosh. What is it now, baby? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, get rid of or say goodbye to those thoughts that do not conform to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Get rid of it. And then ask God to help you deal with this feeling of discontentment. You know, it amazes me, and maybe you as well, that God is saying, in your distress, in your pain, in your disappointment, in your discontentment, come to me. He gives us an open invitation to pray unto him when we go through those situations. Why is it that we don't? I mean, in other words, you're just dealing with this thing all by yourself. You haven't consulted, you haven't gone to him. You're not making a request known unto him. But he's saying, come boldly into the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Come. Bring your discouragement to him and let him do what only he can do. Provide you relief during that season of discontentment. And then also, learn to lay aside the weight that discontentment brings. That stress will hurt you. Stress is a killer. He's called silent killer. It ain't so silent no more. Stress will hurt you. And he says, casting all your cares upon me because I care for you. We have a way out. Paul said, I've learned in all things to be content. Does that mean you're not going to have difficulty? Of course not. As long as you're on this side of heaven, yeah, you're going to catch some hell from time to time. Yeah. But it doesn't have to take me out. I don't have to look like what I'm going through because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And that's what makes all the difference. He said, I've learned to be content. Our contentment comes through our relationship with Christ is great gain. That means that whatever I face, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, even in the face of discontentment. Number two, the fox of resistance to the Holy Spirit. The moment you and I confess Christ as Lord and Savior, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He takes up permanent abode in the believer. He's not on the outside, he's on the inside. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power, dunamis power. That's what we have on the inside. Francis Chang wrote a book not too long ago, Forgetting God, Revisiting Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And one thing he says is interesting is that sometimes it seems like we are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Now, resisting the Holy Spirit, again, I'll show you in text, it's nothing. Folks have been resisting in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Folks have been resisting the Holy Spirit for a long time. But you know, if we are pushing back against the Holy Spirit, that little fox of resisting the Holy Spirit, if we keep letting him get in and we keep resisting the Holy Spirit, we never reach our potential in Christ. In other words, there's so much more that we have to gain by way of cooperating with and inviting in, to the point where the Holy Spirit becomes, the ministry of the Holy Spirit becomes active in our lives. The Holy Spirit will sometime rearrange things. If you let him, he's a personality. You can grieve him. He can be hurt. I mean, it's personality, not a force. That's what he's saying, basically. I want you to want me. I'm already here. I'm on the inside, but I want you to have an appetite for me. Because if you have an appetite for me, I'm able to help you do some things that you cannot do under your own strength. In other words, what I've learned about the Holy Spirit is that once I allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself, he has a way of watching what says out, what comes out of my mouth. Okay? All right, that didn't, all right. The Holy Spirit, when I give him rule and reign, empowers us to do whatever it is that the Lord bids us to do. I noticed some discussion about doing some outreach and reaching out to the community. If you think that all we need is an idea and some books and materials to read about it, you're sadly mistaken. What we need, all of us, is going to be the Holy Spirit active in the lives of God's people who then begin to make an impact. You can read all you want until the cows come home. Everybody's material, get it, get all of it. Read it. Exercise due diligence. But at the end of the day, what we're going to need is the Holy Spirit showing up and showing out in and through us if we're going to reach those who don't know our Jesus. Because folks been doing programs all forever. But if all it is a program without the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we will not get very far. But I need that Holy Spirit to empower us that we have the Holy Spirit already in us that is lying dormant. So here it is. Holy Spirit, I'm open unto you. Be ready. Because he may shake things up. Listen, he may have you waving your hand in worship and people start saying, oh my Lord, what is wrong with her? We not that kind of church. We don't do that here. That's around the corner at Big People's Baptist Church. We don't behave like that. If you keep fooling with the Holy Spirit, he will take you out of yourself and have you doing some things that you didn't know you were capable of doing. And I'm not talking about knocking down walls. No, no, no. I'm just talking about allowing him to work in and through us. Stop with the wall of resistance because he has so much more that he wants to do. Those of us in ministry, I don't care what it is. If you agree, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit active in my life. Otherwise, I just become a figurehead. Paper only. Whatever the position is you hold. But I no longer want to push back against the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, sometimes we need to just go back in our mind and see just what it is, the Holy Spirit. I mean, he does so doggone much to us. I mean, he leads us, he guides us, he gives us direction. He empowers us to wait. All of this I'm missing because I'm resisting, pushing back against what he has for me. Take the guard down and say, Lord, I've run enough. Holy Spirit, forgive me. I repent because I've ignored you. So now I confess that I want you to help me be all that I can in Christ. Not for the applause of men, but that you might be glorified. I need you to lead me. I need you to empower me. I need you to help me pray. I need you to wash and renew me. I need you to teach me the things of your word. Guide me in all truth and wisdom. I want to know you better. And while you're at it, just pray for boldness. And not be concerned about people and what they're going to say or think. God's looking for some bold witnesses. Philemon 1:8, for this reason, although I have great boldness in Christ to command you to do what is right. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, remain alert, keep standing firm in your faith, keep on being courageous and strong. This is what he can empower us to do. Time out for living beneath our potential in Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm expecting you to do a work in me and through me. And mean it. And make yourself available. And then watch what God does, so that he gets the glory out of your life. So that when you stand before him, those words will be welcome. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I really don't want to hear much else at the end of the day, because really nothing else will matter. But well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to send up stuff now so that when I have my final review with him, he'll have something to pull up on. I won't be looking down. Too late for that. I want to walk in the reward that he has for me. And I did that by way of being available to him now and here. Because listen, you may live 60, 70, 80 maybe, but you go and close your eyes. Your voice will be hushed in death. And you got to stand before him. So let me move. The third fox we got to look out for is the fox of pride. This is the one, this little rascal here can just ruin and wreck everything. I mean, because you need to hit him twice. Hit him hard. Make sure he don't get back up, because what I'm learning is that this is a daily battle with pride. Okay, so y'all act like y'all don't know. But I admit, I got some issues with pride. And the rest of y'all do too, but you two don't want to, don't. We got some issues with pride. Listen, daily. And I like the sanctimonious folk who act like, he ain't talking to me. I know what he's talking about. He don't know me that good. Yeah, I know. You're a human, and I know what you're made of. And I know that no good thing dwelleth in you. I know that. That's what Scripture says. No, babe, you ain't all of that. You got some secret habits and hang-ups that we don't know not of, but you got them. Oh, kill me, man. They so religious. No! We sinners saved by grace. We're in the process of becoming. Not there yet. I got some despised and hated habits we're dealing with. Yeah, so pride is one of them that most of us are battling daily. It's just thinking more highly of yourself. Scripture says, do not think more highly of yourself. He's talking about folks who basically were part of the fellowship of faith. They had different gifts. And he's saying, listen, you know, there's no need for that. You don't need to think more highly of yourself. You know, they go from, dignity to arrogance. The prideful folk, you know them. Let me give you some. They need to be right. You know them? They never wrong. They right 90% of the time. And they're not going to admit that 10% that they're not right. You know them. They're argumentative. They can't wait. Listen, you can't even get it out before they... You know? Everything is a fight with them and a fuss. Pride. They angry folk. They not smiling at nothing, none of the time. I'm like, babe, you just got up. How you going? You just got to work. How you? They always angry. Always angry. Irritable, impatient. Lack of a submissive attitude. Why can't tell them nothing? Arrogant, pride. Listen, they not easy to correct. If you correct them, it's always got to be followed up by way of an explanation. And then it's like it's on. Receiving correction, but not changing. They hear you, but listen, we used to say, it went in one ear and out the other. Pride. And being stubborn. That little fox there can wreck and ruin. And what's interesting, the Bible has nothing good to say about pride. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:17, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. The first one is a proud look. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Daniel 4:37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of king of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. Watch this. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Isn't that something? God has a real problem with prideful folk. And that fox of pride needs to be dealt with daily. Daily. How do I destroy him? Preacher, come on, tell me something. How do I deal with this thing? Well, first of all, admit that you have a problem with pride. I mean, nothing's wrong with coming clean before God, acknowledging, Lord, you know me better than I know me. And you know that this is a problem area of my life. And I need you to help me handle this thing called pride daily. I have to be intentional if I'm going to deal with this thing called pride. And you are the first one to know when you're getting better. Your countenance changes. You smiling more. You ain't raising as much hell. People can be around you. You are the first one to know when. Take ownership of it. Yep, that's me. When somebody say, boy, you are a prophet. Yep, you got it. And I'm trying to get better. The Lord's working on me with it. And I'm aiming to do better. Resist the temptation to boast. Folks with pride issues like to boast, braggadocious, you know, what they have, what they've accomplished. And that's fine. Nothing's wrong with what you have and your accomplishments. Just, you know, say, babe, I got this. Don't think I did this on my own. What I have here. As a matter of fact, you got some time? Let me tell you what the Lord's doing. The Lord did this. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. Scripture says, in Proverbs 27:2, it says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. Refuse the temptation to hold a grudge. Prideful folks don't let you forget. They're the memory police and always reminding you of what you did. When they start going, they say, whoa, 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 babe, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. What you're saying may be true, but we just talked about this yesterday. And now you're upset and you're holding a grudge because of what they said. Prideful folks know how to lay it down and say, you know what? I heard what you say out your mouth, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. That'll really mess them up. They like, oh, gosh. Just trying to hurt them in that. Ephesians says, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you without malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Be careful when it comes to judging folks. Prideful folks like to judge people. I'm telling you, you got to kill this thing because you can't let him play in the venue too long because he likes to mess things up. In Luke 6, verses 41, 42, Lord talks about remove the plank from your own eye before you look at your neighbor. Those are some things we have to do if we're going to deal with this thing called pride. Be careful of those areas. And fight pride with the humility of Jesus. Let Jesus be our example as to how we should handle this whole pride thing. Humility. Remember when Jesus got a towel and a basin and he washed the smelly, dirty, dusty feet of the disciple? Jesus, the Son of God, bowing down and washing their feet. Now, they just finished arguing about who was the greatest, right? They arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus, wait a minute, teachable moment. And Jesus begins to wash their feet. Servanthood and humility. That's how you handle pride. Servanthood and humility. In other words, when you begin to serve someone else, it has a way of melting some of that pride that you have. You know what it does? Because you begin to realize, but for the grace of God, I could be the one receiving that bread from Baltimore County at the soup kitchen this week. But God's grace has kept me. God's grace has provided for me. And because of that, I'm letting pride melt by being a servant. Serving others helps melt pride that we have because we realize that it's God who is providing for us. So if you got a pride issue, find out where you can serve. Find out where you can make a difference in the life of someone else and let God use you to bring glory to Him. Watch the little foxes. And be ready to kill pride, arrogance, and all of that by way of serving others. That gets the attention of God. He still looks in and leans in when you and I look like him. And if you want to look more like Jesus, look at how we can serve. Look at how we can make a difference in the life of someone else. Our family's doing a project, been doing it for almost a year now. University of Maryland Shock Trauma, we've been blessed to be a blessing to some men who are gunshot wound victims. And the other day, I got an email from the guy who we work with, and he says, Ron, thank you for the work that you guys are doing. He said, but here's my question. He says, why are you doing this? He wanted to know why. We done gave over 50 backpacks of toiletries, Bibles, tracts. He's saying, we trying to figure this thing out down here at the University of Maryland. Why are y'all doing this? You know why? Because we've been blessed. God has blessed us that we might be a blessing to someone else. That melts any pride that you have because you realize that you could be the one in that bed from a gunshot wound, but God's grace has kept you. So, look at how you can serve. Kill that darn fox by serving and letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we do. So take care of them foxes. Don't let them live. Because they want to destroy you, your family, and your witness for Christ. And let it be a daily thing that you got to kill it. Because all of those things, pride, resistance of the Holy Spirit, discontentment, are always pulling at you. But you got to fight back. Jesus was a man of war. And beloved, sometime we too have to be men and women of war. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We pray that you would empower us to come against that fox of discouragement, the fox of resistance to the Holy Spirit, the fox of pride. Give us strength to be able to destroy those habits, those ways, that thinking that is not in keeping with who you are. Help us realize that you have great and mighty things in store for us, that if we would just open ourselves up to you as we read your word, as we pray, as we serve. Holy Spirit, have your way in and through us. Do a great work, and we're thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. 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 Listen, listen. Is there one here today who does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sin? I don't assume nothing no more. You know, you would think in a group of folk like this that everybody's saved. That's not necessarily true. You have a lot of folks who just come to church because that's what you do on Sunday. But they've never made a profession of their faith. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which they have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sin, please come talk to myself or Seth or Larry, Frank, any of the brothers here who would more than gladly walk with you through God's plan of salvation. This is very important. Preaching is wonderful, all that's nice. You know, that's nice, but heaven doesn't get happy until someone gets saved. Does someone don't know Jesus? We're going to dismiss, and please see us, because you're one heartbeat away from eternity. One heartbeat. And if you stand before him, he's going to say, why should I let you in to my heaven? Well, I was a good person. And my son didn't die just because you were a good person. You're supposed to be a good person. I treated my neighbor right. You're probably supposed to treat your neighbor right. I took care of my family. That's good. If you didn't, you're worse than an infidel. I mean, so you know what he's looking for? That I confessed your son as my Lord and Savior. Come on into my... That's the issue. That's what's important. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, God bless you. It's been a wonderful Sunday. But if you don't know him, please come and talk to us. We don't want you to leave here and bust hell wide open, because you had a chance to get to know him, but you didn't. This thing about seeing folks get into the kingdom is taking on a greater urgency now, because eternity is a long time. Purgatory, you know, spiritual halfway house, I don't see that nowhere in Scripture. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I hope this was a day of decision for you. If you're on the fence, not sure, you may say, well, you know what? I don't know all what you're saying, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life in hell. I want to be on the side with Jesus and all the saints. Amen? Amen. God bless you, Faith.